We're back with more of Lake Effect Now. I'm Mitch Teich.
And I'm Bonnie North. Around 5.7 million Americans live with Alzheimer's or another form of dementia, and that number is expected to skyrocket in the next 30 years. Dementia can be very isolating, both for patients and their caregivers. In addition to memory loss, people can experience trouble communicating, poor judgment, and personality changes.
But one organization is trying to make those dealing with dementia a little less isolated. The Library Memory Project is a partnership between public libraries in Waukesha, Milwaukee, and Dodge counties. Its programs target both those affected by memory loss and their caregivers.
Each month, the library hosts a memory cafe as a fun social opportunity in a safe, supportive, and judgment-free space for those experiencing early-stage dementia and for their families, friends, and care partners. Tomorrow morning, the Bridges Library System launches its fifth library memory project in the Mequonago Community Library.
Jennifer Harders is the outreach coordinator for the Alzheimer's Association of Southeast Wisconsin, and Angela Myers is coordinator of youth and inclusive services for the Bridges Library System. Myers explained to Lake Effect's Audrey Nowakowski why memory cafes are an ideal approach for the people they serve.
So I actually learned about memory cafes through a library conference session that I went to, and we were sitting there in the audience, director and I, and we said, we have to do this. This is something that our community definitely needs. And memory cafes are for persons with memory loss and their care partners to come together and have social interactions with other people going through the same experience or similar journey. So that was really the idea that sparked this in 2014. And then we brought the idea back to a few more libraries, and that's how we began the first set of memory cafes.
You know, when it comes to library programs, you know, I always think of the time when my mom took me and my sisters to the library for like a magic show, learn about creatures, story time, crafts, you know, all of these activities that made it more than just a place to get some books. And adults really need the same thing too. So what is it that makes a library a perfect environment for a program like this?
Well, I think that libraries serve everybody from birth until they're 100 years old. So we offer programs for all ages. And that's where this is a perfect fit for people who are experiencing memory loss. And it's a place where they feel welcome, and it's a comfortable place for them to return to.
And how do you facilitate and create a safe space that's judgment-free?
Well, we actually work with the Alzheimer's Association and the Aging and Disability Resource Center to provide dementia-friendly training for our library staff and volunteers. So that has gone a long way in helping people understand who our service population is.
And Jennifer, could you go into that a little bit? What kind of things are you teaching library staffers to keep in mind?
Yeah, so in part of that education, we're talking about what is dementia, what is Alzheimer's disease, what's the difference between the two. We also talk about how to recognize when somebody might be having some memory loss issues. People typically don't announce that. So we teach them how to recognize those folks. And then we talk about effective communication, because when somebody has Alzheimer's disease or another form of dementia, it impacts how they communicate their thoughts, how they understand communication from others. So in addition to that, they're learning how to communicate with others. And honestly, it's been a pretty easy process. Librarians, I find, already are very knowledgeable about how to communicate with others and very intuitive when it comes to working with different populations.
Yeah, librarians are unique in that a part of their job a lot is communication and face-to-face time. But what do you think the public misconceptions are when it comes to understanding dementia and Alzheimer's? And to backtrack a bit, how you mentioned, you know, what is the difference between the two?
So Alzheimer's disease is a form of dementia. Dementia is this umbrella, broad term that describes changes in memory, changes in thought process, often changes in language, how we understand language, but also how we communicate ourselves. And so it's this broad term. And then underneath that, if you think of it as kind of an umbrella, there are different types. Alzheimer's disease is one type of dementia. It's the most common type, making up 60-80% of all dementias. There's also other types of dementia, like vascular dementia, frontal temporal dementia, Lewy body dementia. At the Alzheimer's Association, although we are the Alzheimer's Association, we serve individuals with any type of dementia. So that's part of the education that we provide, too, is not only how to recognize somebody with Alzheimer's disease, but how to recognize somebody who might have other forms of dementia.
And do you think the number of seniors with dementia-related illnesses is growing in the United States as a matter of being more aware of the different types of dementia people can be experiencing, or do you think it's other factors that can contribute?
Part of it is awareness, but a big part of it is that our population is aging. Alzheimer's disease, for the most part, is a disease that affects older adults. At the age of 65, 1 in 8 or 1 in 9 individuals have Alzheimer's disease, and by the time we're 85, it's 1 in 3. So the older we get, the greater the chances that we're going to have Alzheimer's disease. So it is a higher prevalence with the older adults.
And besides the loss of memory, which people can easily understand, what other kinds of aspects of life do people lose when going through this?
Well, like I said, that the whole communication piece, one of the things that I do for the Alzheimer's Association is I work with individuals who are early stage. So similar to the individuals that would come to a memory cafe, I facilitate a support group for early stage folks. And many of those individuals in that group will say, I know what I want to say, but I can't get it out. So really learning how to help those folks communicate, that can really impact their lives in tremendous ways. So besides that memory impairment, not being able to remember things that happened this morning or yesterday, not being able to fully articulate thoughts can be challenging for these folks.
And I imagine there's also isolation is a big issue.
Yes, and that is one of the big reasons the memory cafes actually began, was because 70% of individuals who have Alzheimer's disease or other forms of dementia live in the community. We often think of these folks as living in care facilities, but majority of them are living in the community. And what we do know based on research is that these individuals and their loved ones become very isolated. I've had people tell me that they've lost friends that they've had for years because people don't know how to interact and how to be with that person. So the memory cafes actually have formed a great social network for these people. And Angela can tell you that we will see people come to cafes on opposite ends of the county because it's a social connection for them and they build friendships. Oftentimes they'll see each other outside of the regular scheduled memory cafes because they just enjoy being together so much and they understand what each other's going through.
Right. And Angela, can you walk us through what does your average memory cafe gathering look like month to month? You know, is there somewhat of a lesson plan that you guys have followed or activities that are specifically catered to this group of people?
Sure. So every month our librarians actually come up with a theme for the different memory cafes because librarians love planning. So this is totally, you know, in their arena. So what they do is they come up with an idea for a certain topic. So for the memory cafe that's coming up on Thursday the 24th, the topic is actually called Football Fun. So everything about that memory cafe is going to be about football, whether it's talking about what snacks we typically eat when we gather for football games or who your favorite college or professional team is. We're going to pass around some different artifacts from a high school team just so people can kind of feel what a football feels like and feel what a jersey feels like, that sort of thing. It's really important for us to hit on those different senses for people because that's really what kind of enlightens them and kind of sparks a mood. So it's really important for us to incorporate different elements during the memory cafe. So there's this social interaction that happens when they first get there. Everyone comes in and gets their coffee, gets a cookie or a treat, that sort of thing. They sit down, they talk to their friends, and then we slowly move into the theme or the program. And that lasts for about 45 minutes. And then we start closing the memory cafe. And we often talk about, like, what is everybody doing outside of the memory cafe? And it kind of gives people other ideas of what else is kind of safe to go to or of interest. And people seem to really like that. And then we always close the memory cafe with either a poem or a song. And it just kind of gives that closure to the memory cafe. And for those who do have memory loss, I think it helps having that schedule of events so that they know what to expect at each memory cafe.
Right. And in addition to the people you're serving with memory loss, I imagine you get a lot of caretakers coming here with them. So what kind of impact or things have they learned by coming together
Well, we do notice that we have a lot of husband and wife pairs, or we might have sons that bring their mothers, that sort of thing. And what we notice that the caregivers actually tend to, they're attracted to one another in a way because they like to share what's going on with their loved one's life, what kind of treatment they're doing, what other activities they're going to. And I think it's been a real nice connection for the caregivers as well as the persons living with memory loss.
Jennifer, I imagine outside of what the Wisconsin Alzheimer's Association does, when someone is diagnosed with a memory loss type disease, do the resources and the next steps kind of fall flat?
What we hear often for those individuals is once they're diagnosed, they're told by the doctor's office that they have Alzheimer's disease or other form of dementia, and then they're told to come back in 6 months to a year. So we have a program that's called the Direct Connect program where we talk with doctors, clinics in the area, and we provide them a sheet that they can complete with that person, and they fax it to us or email it to us, and then it gives us permission to reach out to the families. We know on average if that family or that individual is left with just our number, it will take them up to 2 years to get connected with us. So this is an easier way as they're learning about the disease process and starting to come to terms with what might be ahead, that we can get in contact with them and literally walk that journey with them, get them information, education about the disease process, help them plan. A lot of my time is spent directly with individuals with memory loss and their loved ones doing what we call care consultations. I meet people where they're at. I'll go into their home. I'll meet them at a local library, talk about what their biggest issues or concerns are, provide information about the disease process, and then help them get connected to the resources. So the memory cafes are one great way to do that. The individual with memory loss comes with a care partner. And as Angela said, sometimes you'll literally see that care partner sit back and just kind of take a deep breath and relax because they don't have to be on. There are the facilitators that will help engage those folks. Other times you'll see the care partners develop friendships and you'll see them chatting with other care partners. Sometimes you'll see the persons living with dementia develop friendships, and they'll always try and sit next to one another because they've come to know each other through the memory cafes.
This question is for the both of you. What is the greatest feedback you've gotten with these cafes?
I think the greatest feedback we've had so far is keep offering them or offer more. And like Jen said earlier, people will literally drive across the county from Menominee Falls to Eagle to attend a memory cafe because those are their friends now. And that's the stuff that they're looking forward to. And it's something to have on the calendar. And that they know when they go there, they're going to be welcome and they're going to have a good time and they're going to maintain those connections.
I think for me, it was with a group that was impacted pretty early on when the cafes first started happening in Waukesha, Milwaukee County. And the individuals in this group have come to us and said, prior to the memory cafes, prior to the services that they were receiving, they felt very isolated. They felt very disconnected from friends they had for years, from families. And actually, through the diagnosis and their loved one having Alzheimer's disease or other form of dementia, they found a new family. They found these friends through the memory cafes that they now see each other on a regular basis. They celebrate children's and grandchildren's weddings together. They celebrate the birth of children together. We've seen this, that this is a new family for these folks, and it's priceless for them.
What can we do better for people who are not directly impacted by dementia or Alzheimer's, who don't realize that we're not communicating properly or we're not fostering a welcoming environment, even when it comes to shared public spaces?
I think to raise our awareness. Currently, there are 5.7 million Americans living with Alzheimer's disease, and by the year 2050, we're expecting nearly 14 million individuals. So if you yet have not been impacted by Alzheimer's disease, it's very likely that you will be in the future. So I think learning more about it, learning more about how to recognize the signs, and being open to discussions about what that looks like, being open to having discussions about your with your family members, even if you're not seeing it yet, there is a likelihood that you may in the future.
I would also add that the Alzheimer's Association offers a lot of educational programs for the general population, and one of them that I really enjoy is Know the 10 Signs. And that one is really intended for folks who have not received that diagnosis yet, that are just looking to learn more about Alzheimer's and other forms of dementia. And it's really about just kind of getting people in the know.
Well, Angela and Jennifer, thank you both for coming in today and for the work that you're doing with Memory Cafes.
Thank you for having
us. Thank you.
Jennifer Harders is the Outreach Coordinator for the Alzheimer's Association of Southeast Wisconsin. Angela Myers is the Coordinator of Youth and Inclusive Services for the Bridges Library System of Waukesha and Jefferson Counties.
They spoke with Audrey Nowakowski. The Bridges Library System launches its fifth library memory project tomorrow morning at the Maquonago Community Library. You can learn more about memory cafes and learn more about dementia at WUWM.com.